Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello everyone, it is the build-up show. Welcome to Red Men TV. Liverpool taking on Arsenal on Saturday in the 5:30 kickoff. It's me hosting Paul Machin. I've got Tom with me on the couch. I've got John Machin. We've got Sam Walker as well in for this one as Chris Pajak goes through his rest and recuperation cycle. Probably not. Like me, he's got two kids. There's just no such thing as having a break with you when you've got kids. Who has had a break is the Liverpool team, relatively speaking, of a week. We'll come on to that in a moment. But Tom, it is the last two remaining 100% records in the Premier League going head-to-head in game week 3.
Yeah, I think this is strangely quite big mentally, you know what I mean? You want to be going through and just saying to all the teams, come on, we're good here, you know what I mean? Everyone's dropped off. And we're still there. We did it last season. I think it was us, City and Chelsea hadn't been beaten, wasn't it?
For a while. I think we went the first seven games. We won the first seven, and Man City actually dropped points in the third game week this time last season.
So it's one of them where if you can go, especially after City played Tottenham last week and it was a draw, and if you can go there and keep up our record of at Anfield and just go, no, look, we're top dog. There's Arsenal. There's another big side. Just blow them away and then just go, that's a statement then. I've already put down two statements of home and away victories and obviously winning the cup. Go, right, we're carrying on as we want to end the season.
I think that's it. There's very much a message to be sent to the league. I think we can't rely on, we're not going to be able to rely on Manchester City dropping loads of points. They just did not deserve to drop points last week against Spurs. They absolutely wiped the floor with Tottenham. So you've got to take those little moments. And I hate the fact that I'm here saying this. It's the third game of the season. I shouldn't care. No one should care what really is happening in the league just yet. But this is the reality we inhabit, isn't it?
You can't afford to slip up at all. You know, even in the first couple of games, it used to be okay till Christmas at one point. But now, if you drop points early on, you're going to struggle. Yeah. I mean, the rest of the top six, they're all going to be saying, "Oh, this is definitely a draw. This will be great." Mm-hmm. They both drop points, and we it'll be good for us. And we've got to make sure we win it.
Yeah, in some regards, Sam. Obviously, we've had some really good results against them at Anfield in recent years. At least I thought last year, but we've struggled a bit away from them. So in that regard, I'm glad that we've got them at Anfield right here and right now, because the thing I've been saying for a week or so now, it's not a bad time to play Liverpool, because we're not clearly full fit and firing. There's still some issues that need to be ironed out, whether that's due to a change of approach or a fitness issue or whatever, however we want to analyse. And I'm sure each of us will pick it at some point during the show. But yeah, being at Anfield it goes without saying. But yeah, you'd rather have this game here.
Definitely, and I think it's probably a good time to play Arsenal as well. They've got all these new signings. And realistically, this early in the season, especially if Foden came in quite late, didn't he? Mm-hmm. So they're not going to really be embedded in the team, especially in a massive game at Anfield where we haven't been beaten for a long time. You know, Nicolas Pepe, for instance, isn't going to come in and suddenly be really tactically in their shape, knowing who to track, what spaces to hit. So I think it's perfect for us as well. Get them now, hopefully do what we always do and beat them. And then later on in the season, when it gets to December, if the likes of Caballos, Pepe, Tierney, who's out injured, etc., are all embedded in the team, they could be a really difficult side to beat, especially to defend against as well. So I think it's a perfect timing. Week off for us, you know, keep the mentality monsters going and just get that win on Saturday.
Yeah, 100% agree on that. We'll pick up with that in a second, but just got to speak to you all that we have a sponsor this week. It is DraftKings. It's a very, very interesting challenge this week. So this week I'm going head to head with Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV in a DraftKings Fantasy Football League. There's $10,000 worth of prizes up for grabs in this league. First place will take home $1,000 and $200 in club merch as well. And most importantly, whoever comes out on top of us and Arsenal Fan TV gets £250 to donate to the charity of our choice. And I'm open to suggestions for that. Let me know it in the comment section or by tweeting us at the Redmen TV as well. It's incredibly simple to enter. You get to pick 8 players from across the Saturday games. My team is right there, as you can see, heavily focused on the mighty Reds. Salah, Mane, Firmino leading the line, and then I've basically chucked one or two in the hope that Manchester United lose, and largely just to balance me budget. Can you do better? Can you beat me? Can you beat Robbie? Go and join in. The link is in the description. It's just $5 to enter, and yes, you have a chance of winning a whole host of prizes as well as a little bit of bragging rights over us. Get involved, and I'll see you there. Yeah, get involved with that. I'll put the link in the description to the video underneath. And by me, I mean, of course, Simon. Right. Yeah, look, Tom, we've touched upon it. There's been so much in this cycle, 2 games a week. I kind of half jokingly said, this season doesn't feel like a new season. It's felt like a continuation of last. And in some regards, we've got to get through this, and we've got Burnley coming before the international break. Yeah. But that's what Liverpool are looking at. Klopp referenced last week about getting through the Super Cup and Southampton in one block. For me, it's this and Burnley, and then you can properly take a little bit of a breather.
Yeah, and I think it's not just like, it's not even a break, because we're going to be on the training pitch. We're going to, that's the thing that we've missed out on.
An international training pitch, yeah, for most of the squad.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is we needed that bit of training defensively, I feel like. Obviously, we've been caught out by Norwich, by Chelsea and stuff like that. And you're looking at it and you're thinking, we need to solidify that. But we've not had time on the training pitch. And I think Jürgen Klopp now can sit down, obviously, with his coaches and just go, right, lads, you did this wrong. You've done it wrong consistently. This is what you've done right. Let's work on this. Let's get it tight. And let's go into Arsenal feeling better than we have. I mean, that pre-season was manic. I didn't realise it was going to be like that. Yeah. I saw all the games. And I was like, oh, they'll be spaced out. Oh, we have no breaks at all. We're just going into it and going into it. Yes, that might be good for later on in the season and being able to go, right, we've done this, we know how it feels, we know what we're doing. But in terms of getting time on the training pitch, I can't wait to see what Liverpool are like now with that extra bit of time.
Absolutely. And in some regards, I'm glad that we have at least had a little bit of a break between the Southampton game and this one.
If you're bedding in a new defensive system, which seems to be what they're doing, you've got to have time on the training ground to iron it out and make it work properly. And, you know, this is probably a really difficult test for it, because their forwards are so fast, you know, and they're going to see space behind our defence and they're going to try and hit that every time.
Yeah.
And they've got the players who can beat the offside trap. So it's going to be a really difficult afternoon or evening for our defence.
I completely agree. And I think that test, I wouldn't have liked to have faced this a week ago or whatever. If you switched the Arsenal game off any of the other two previous league games, God, most of all the Southampton one, of course, off the back of the Super Cup. But look at Pukki caused us problems for Norwich. Giroud caused us problems in behind the times, and that man has got no pace whatsoever. Southampton causes a few issues. Chelsea's wide men caused us issues as well as Giroud. You're right, and I think Tom's spot on there is that Jürgen and the lads will have sat down and I think almost forensically gone over what needs to happen, because there has to be some tweaks made, because if Liverpool continue to allow the opportunities, Aubameyang is the best centre-forward we've come up against, I think, you know, this season. Pretty much, I think, you're given that City didn't start Aguero and what have you. So
Pukki will be upset.
Probably, like, but yeah. But, you know, Lacazette, Aubameyang and potentially
and Pepe. They're so fast, those three.
There's no way they're going to play for them, though. He will. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts one of them.
Really?
It's negative. You heard what he said the other day. I mean, the quotes coming out of Emery's mouth, I would rather not play Liverpool. Yeah. That is not what someone says who's got any confidence at all. But that's just, I think you'll see one or two of them max.
No, it's a fascinating thing, isn't it? Whether he does, whether he looks to spread it out over. I mean, so far we've seen Aubameyang playing a bit more drawn up from the wide positions. Lacazette's been starting the games up from for them.
It'd be interesting to see how much faith he puts into his defence. Obviously, he has brought David Luiz in, but our front three is still our front three.
Yeah.
Our attacking midfielders from last season going on are amazing in terms of attacking. The amount of chances we create up the wings, we are a deadly, deadly side. I'd be really interested to see just how Arsenal set up, because, yes, you can go toe-to-toe, but historically,
get blown away.
Historically, Liverpool blow teams away.
You may have looked at the Norwich game and the Chelsea game and think, I've got the players who can beat this offside trap. Yeah. They're playing such a high back line, and I've got the players who can beat
them. That's the interesting...
He's got Ceballos now there, who's probably a bit more direct than Özil ever was.
Well, he certainly runs around, doesn't he? Which makes a massive difference. But it's an interesting one, because I'd not really considered it, because everyone I've spoken to seems to think this is the game for Pepe. You know, he got 45 minutes last weekend, comes on at half-time. They've been gearing up towards this, but you can see it going.
I actually read today that he scored 20-odd goals, 22 goals last season. 11 of them were away.
Fair enough. No. But, you know, you've got to put it into context again, playing away against Saint-Étienne or someone of or playing against Liverpool, who are, you know, unbeaten at home for 2 years, European champions, and he knows what can happen to them at Anfield.
Yeah.
I mean, last season we started poorly, we still romped them 5-1. Yeah. I just think with our fullbacks and stuff, John, and they push up the field.
Well, that's a real danger for them.
Is Pepe and Aubameyang going to track them?
I know, but I mean, why have they bought Pepe? I mean, last season, Arsenal were absolutely terrible away from home.
Yeah. Mm.
And now they bought someone who scores goals away from home.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I'm not saying it'll make any difference, but they must be hoping that this is the way they'll go.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see what he goes with, because the problem is that you could get blown away either way. You know, if you don't go for it and you get battered, then when you've got to deal with that, you've got to deal with having spent all that money on attacking talent and then not using it. Okay. Whereas if you go for it and it's not quite ready, I suspect he will just go for it because of that, because you can get battered. You might as well put your best foot forward. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think it's a very likely thing that he will. I don't want to bottle it, but be a bit more conservative and be a bit more sensible. But I know what their fans are chomping at the bit for.
It was interesting, like Norwich and Southampton, especially in the league game, just went for it, and the balls over the top kept coming off. And you're right, a bit more quality up there, and I think they would have punished us. We should have lost against Southampton with the chances they had. Mm. We should have.
First half.
Exactly. That's what I mean. They had so many opportunities. Danny Ings should have tucked it away to draw.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It is dangerous, but I trust in the work on the training pitch to sort it out. You saw Robertson and Van Dijk the other day, just smiles on their faces because they're ripping through our team.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
It's our approach is interesting, because we've played teams. We started the league against nothing but teams that want to come and have a go at us. And I don't think we'll play that many of those games this season. I think normally they'd have them spread out. You know, we've gone from.
There's
two factors in this. As I say, it's that Liverpool, it's a good time to play us. Try and hit us while we're not fully settled, while we're not fully up to speed, because that might be the best chance. You know, land a quick blow and hope for the best. But also, you know, there's a real. We'll come up against a lot of games where the teams park the bus, and I think we're gearing up towards that, and I don't know whether we are tactically quite set up to play against these teams that are going to attack
us. I wonder as well
whether
we're actually inviting people to come onto us, the height we're playing up the pitch. It must be really tempting to see all that space and think, oh, let's get over there.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, we're relying on VAR this season to pick up the offsides. The trouble is, because they delay their decision on that, it always looks worse than it actually is.
Because
you remember, my God, they got through 20 times. Well, 10 of them were offside,
but we didn't
know that until, you know.
No, absolutely.
Also, it's interesting you say that, because the front three have been pushing up. The defence have been pushing up, and I think a lot of people have mentioned it. We're having different platforms, that it's the midfield that have been maybe not pushing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this week off now, you'll probably see on Saturday, at least for the first half, the midfield will be pushing up, and I can see us strangling Arsenal.
Yeah.
And a lot of these teams that you've just mentioned, then say Burnley away, Well, the front three will be all over them. Then the midfield will push, and then the defence. And like you said, that's when you just can't get out then. Like,
Anfield's going to be bouncing as well. Yeah. Like, the atmosphere in this game, saw it anyway, the first game of the season, it was bouncing. This is Arsenal, it's a massive game, this. And we've seen just how much it affects teams. And I think we're going in, we are European royalty. We've carried it on through. It's another game where I think the fans are going to be massively up for it, and that's going to stifle Arsenal.
Following on from what Sam said, our midfield have been terrible in the first half, just about every game they've played this season. They really can't afford that against
Arsenal. I think it's about getting the balance right, and that's why I wonder, because it can't entirely be personnel. It has to be in how they're being used. And, like, is Jordan Henderson's been great playing more advanced, but is he given the right back enough cover in doing that? It felt at times like Fabinho's been left a little all at sea. Like at Norwich, it felt like we had no one screening the defence at all. Chelsea again, there's times where you're just like, how have they got like three or four men in front of our back four just waiting for the moment to pick a through ball? So I wonder whether this is one of those games where, particularly if they go with Pepe and Aubameyang from the start, whereas we approach it a little bit more like we approached PSG at home last season, where you put Milner and Wijnaldum, you know, either side. Now, okay, we had Henderson in that game as well, so it could just be Henderson, and you'd ask them to say, okay, well, look, we're not sending six, seven men up the field. If the fullbacks are getting up, then your job is just to drift in and just make sure you're covering against the counter-attack, because that's where Arsenal are the team most likely of anyone this season to hurt us, and it's going to be on the counter-attack, if anything.
Yeah, I agree. I think the second half against City, the way we approached that game was brilliant, because we did to City what they do to everyone. We strangled them. Yeah. And like you were saying, in that balance, I think that the midfield was Henderson, Wijnaldum, and was Fabinho playing that game as well?
Fabinho came off eventually, didn't he? And we ended up with like that mad Lallana.
But them three came out, didn't he? And I think then the way I noticed Wijnaldum just sort of dropping in a little bit more, because they had Rigi on the left and not Mane, and it just, the balance was perfect. And City, one little mistake, we were on them, taking the ball off them. And I agree, I think if he gets it right, and I'm sure he will on Saturday, I think we'll be fine. I think Arsenal will get a lesson again.
One player he's Sadio Mane. I mean, he's basically just not had a day off in 2 years.
Since he was a lad.
No, honestly. but he looks like he's gone up a level. We were talking about this on the final win.
I think he looked fantastic.
This could well be.
My worry about him is that him and Bobby are both playing out of their skins at the moment. But both of them went to the finals of their, you know, tournaments. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder whether that they'll run out of steam at some point, you know, further down the line, because it's almost like they've not stopped playing, and they're as fit as they were, and they haven't had a break or a pre-season yet, you know, and just hope that it's not that, and that they just are brilliant and better than ever.
Yeah, they both look like they absolutely relish it at the moment, Tom and Manny in particular. I think that just missing the start of the season for us, I think he was just so desperate to get back in. Firmino looks faster. You know, then he has no, but it's right. Yeah. Like, he genuinely looks quicker than and he loves playing Arsenal as well.
I kind of like it, because it means that Salah is going to take a little bit of time to ramp up, but then you've got these two players playing at the peak of their powers, then maybe they'll drop off, but then hopefully Salah's playing at the peak of his powers, and it kind of all interlinks and works really well. I mean, Sadio Mane against Southampton, it was like he had a point to prove, and he doesn't. Mm. But he goes out on the pitch every time and goes, no, I'm the best player here. The amount of chances he was creating, the stuff that you know that he can do, but when you watch it, you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. G's everyone up. He's got everything in his locker, and we say it every time. He's got the direct run into the byline. He can cut inside and score that worldie. He can play them intricate passes. He can play in the number nine if we need him to, or on the left, and he just shifts around, and it works so well. He's just going to keep putting performance in, and it's funny because we know our front three likes a goal against Arsenal. Historically, again, that front three scores against Arsenal consistently. And like you look back at some of the great goals, Sadio Mane scoring on was that his debut when he scores against Arsenal?
Yeah, it was, that left foot.
Fantastic. Out. Bobby Firmino last season's getting the hat-trick. I'm sure Salah's done something, but
the counter-attacking goal when it was like a Benny Hill sketch, where you had the view from the tunnel cam, and you just see him bombing and then the entire Arsenal team chasing behind him.
It is going to be scary for Arsenal. Like, it's one of them, it's like when you get it in your head that you're going to lose. like Everton have it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It might be the same with Arsenal coming to Anfield.
That's an interesting thought. Let's get the thoughts then of Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV. Obviously, I'm going head-to-head with him in DraftKings this week, but also got a little bit of Oppo insight from the man himself. 5-1 at Anfield last season. Look, Robbie, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it. But look, the thing is, what's changed for Arsenal? Do you think if anything, what's going to make this a different result in your opinion?
I think we're going to find out if anything's changed on Saturday when we play you, because I remember last year we played you, we scored first, and we was like, okay, is something changed? And then literally we just capitulated. And we've seen that so many times at Anfield. We know it's a difficult place to go. I mean, like, your record at home is unbelievable. But it's the way in which Arsenal... It wasn't just Anfield last season. Our away form was horrendous. And one of the things we've got to fix if we're going to get into that top four is the away form. And I think this is the big test now. And obviously, our problem has been defence. The defending has been poor. We brought in David Luiz. And, you know, he looked very good against Burnley, but that's Burnley. You know what I mean? It's not Saudi Amani and Salah and people like that bombing on against you. And I think the problem that we have, we're still going to have at the moment, because I do think that David Luiz will bring a bit of stability. Like, if you've got like a David Luiz, Socrates, centre-half pairing, that's not a bad pairing, right? Mm-hmm. But where I am still worried for that Liverpool game is down the flanks, is the on Monreal and Ainsley Maitland-Niles.
It's a real...
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's a real unknown for Arsenal, this, because I think they should be better this season, Dad, because I think having Unai Emery for that, you know, having had him for the full season now, they've now got a bit of a break now between the Wenger era. He's made a few signings. They should be a bit more settled. I can't look. We can blow teams away. I have this feeling that this might be a bit of a closer game this time.
I think it's quite brave of him, really. He's got Aubameyang and Lacazette, and he goes out and buys Pepe. I mean, and bringing Ceballos behind them, and I think that's really brave of them, particularly when he's done practically nothing with his defence.
Yeah.
He's brought Luis in, who we all know is a bit flaky.
Yeah.
He's done nothing to, and Arsenal fans are really livid that they haven't really bought a top-notch centre-back. Mm. And I just think this is his worst nightmare, playing us.
Yeah, could well be. I mean, the David Luiz stuff's interesting, because I think you're right. I think we all know what is the problems with David Luiz are, Sam, is that he flicky's the right word. You know, he switches off at times. And he does some stupid things if his head's not in the right place. But one thing he is, and I think we'd all agree, he's a fantastically talented footballer. And I wonder whether that's just, you know, some team like Man United were looking for
Harry Maguire because they needed this big commanding, you know, groch of a lad at the back. Arsenal probably just need someone who's just really happy to be on the ball, and that's one thing that we have to consider if we're looking to put them under pressure. The weak link's not going to be David Luiz. He's not the pressing trigger's not David Luiz there. Socrates, whatever you want to call him, might well be it, but you know David Luiz will make them a little bit of a trickier prospect.
Yeah, David Luiz to me always seems like one of those players who, when he plays in a really good team, like remember when he was at PSG, they were a good side with Zlatan and stuff, weren't they? They were tough to beat. And then obviously when he was at Chelsea when they won the league, when he slots into a really good team, he seems to be okay. But when he's asked any more of him to be that guy, it doesn't work. That's why I'm surprised Arsenal have got him. I'm sure he'll score a few headers off a corner and have a few mad free kicks. But yeah. I just feel like if Liverpool go out there on Saturday, start early and get a goal in the first 20 minutes, when they're all looking around at each other, whether it's these new players or the older Xhakas and etc. who are playing, I'm wondering, are they going to look at David Luiz? Is he going to make a difference, or is he just going to collapse like Arsenal? And that's what I think about him. I don't see him as that guy. I actually think Arsenal needed to go and get a Maguire-esque player, a player who just says, it's okay. Whereas you don't look at David Luiz and think it's okay, do you?
No, you don't.
Do you know what I mean?
And I think you've got to settle someone like him into your back four, because it's not easy to play with a player like him. Yeah. If you know, because he's not a standard centre back, is he? Yeah. He doesn't play a normal game.
He's the maddest player I've ever seen. I remember, do you remember the 7-1 when he lost against Germany, and his head just went, and he ran out of the defence, and he does it all the time. He just runs into midfield, and then all the players are like, "Who is covering? Yeah. We've never done this on the training pitch, mate."
It's like on FIFA when you get a beat, you think, "I'm just going to try to score from the halfway line."
Run down the wing with your keeper.
Yeah, it's mad.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does. Let's talk about Liverpool then, what we think that, or what we would like them to do, Tom. I mean, the big questions are going to be inevitably over there. Who partners Van Dijk? Who's at right back? And then who constructs our midfield?
I think you put Matip in there. As much as Gomez is brilliant, I want to see Matip back in there just for his look. His passing's great. I like him striding that midfield.
Keeping Trent
at right back. Say that's me back line of Robbo, Van Dijk, Matip and Trent. And in the midfield, Fabinho, Gini, Hendo, I know I can trust them. And I know you can trust them to do multiple things. Gini can slot into that six with Fabinho for getting overrun. Henderson's so instrumental in giving Salah space and that right-hand side nowadays that you've got to put him in. And then it's the front three for me. Just that's the strongest team that I can think of. Yeah. And then you've got people like Ox on the bench. You've got people like Milner to come off if you need a combative second half.
Any takers on Gomez centre-half?
Me, definitely. Yeah. I think his pace is what's crucial. If you're playing a high back line, you need the fastest people you've got on the pitch. Yeah. And I think he's faster than Matip.
I think it'll boil down to for me. And the only alternative to that is if he just thinks, I want a bit more security if they, you know, against their front three by putting Gomez in at right back potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But the problem we've got is that I'm not sure what games you don't
if
need
not
Trent
if you're not
anymore.
Playing Trent at home, then when are you playing it?
Yeah, exactly. This is my thing on Trent, is that I get like that Gomez is a bit more defensively sound, but how we play, it's so important to have people who are comfortable on the football that you want to beat the teams that are worse than you, so you put your most talented players in. But when you come against the best teams, you need your best players on the pitch to be able to be better than them. And Trent is just, for all, you know, I'm still seeing people in the YouTube comments like, Trent needs to remember he's a defender first. He's not. He's not a defender first. He's called a right back.
The way we play,
and people have an understanding of what that role is supposed to mean. But that, you're right, you might as well be a right mid. That's how he plays for us.
Yeah. I mean, I think if he was playing Oxlade-Chamberlain instead of Henderson, then Gomez all day long, yeah. You know, let Ox go be free.
Yeah.
But with Henderson on the pitch, you know, he's got such an engine.
Yeah.
That you don't really need the extra defensive thing that Gomez might give you. And it's only marginal. You know, he's not a genius right back by any means, is he?
No, it's true. Yeah. I mean, the Gomez, to be fair, he hasn't covered himself in glory this season, particularly Sammy, the way he was much better at right back in the second half of the Community Shield. I don't think he was great there in the Super Cup particularly. So
Yeah, I think it's horses for courses. With Trent, he seems to get skinned by very good wingers. Sané at times. Rashford aside, but he's become a good winger.
Yeah.
Everyone who's done Trent, Zaha, have been good wide men who know how to play that role. If Arsenal haven't got a wide man bar Pepe, and doesn't he play on the right anyway? Yeah. So if Aubameyang or Lacazette play there, they're not natural wide men. They're going to be coming in into the centre-half space anyway all yeah. the time. So I'm fine with Trent there.
Well, I keep saying, people keep saying these things about Trent, like about him getting skinned. Nobody ever goes on about the opposition fullbacks when our wingers, when Salah and Mane tear the opposition fullbacks apart, no one goes, yeah. their fullbacks are crap. You know, you're going to come up against, occasionally you're going to come up against lads who are really good at what they do, and they might get a little bit ahead of you, and then you might get a little bit back here and there.
That's what you want, though. The wingers should be beating fullbacks most of the time. It's interesting for me. I think Robbo is a weird one, because I love Robertson. He's fantastic, one of our best defenders, and he's pulled some magic out this season already. But he got caught a few times, and he has done recently. I wonder, maybe instead of Gini, you play Milner there, give him that cover, let him bomb up, because I love seeing Robertson kind of hugging their attacking third, and leave Milner in there is the only thing that I'm kind of thinking about, because you've got to kind of pin them back if you're saying that. You've got to get your fullbacks up.
Yeah.
You do have to have that. It is weird. I mean, whatever we do, I know we're going to play well, but it's
we've got an answer for most problems, I think, haven't we, Sam, in terms of who we start. It's still a shame that we're not going to be able to see Keita, because he's, for me, is still that. I still think we're seeing, like, last season's way of, you know, or even the season before, in some regards, we're seeing the remnants of of an older Liverpool side in how we use our midfield. I think Keita's the one who's going to help us break out of that.
Yeah.
So it is. It's kind of a much of a muchness. Pick two from three of Gini, Milner, Henderson. Maybe.
Yeah, I think I agree with what the lad said before. Henderson on that right channel, can't not pick him, especially at home. He's had a week off.
Yeah.
Didn't start last week, did he? It'd be interesting to know if Ox can play in the left channel, because you know the way you're talking about Keita. So say, for instance, you're saying your two shoe-ins at the moment are Fabinho and Henderson. Are we all agreeing with that at the moment? Yeah. So that left channel, especially maybe if we need to push on Arsenal, whether Ox can play there, because that's where Keita would play, wouldn't he? Yeah. So and he will get forward, won't he? So can Ox do that? And if he can, then that's maybe his way of getting in this team while Keita's not right.
Well, obviously, I think we're all settling on a relatively similar midfield, but any considerations towards Ox, Dad?
No. I thought he was pretty good last week. I thought he got better as the game went on, and he got a lot more confidence. But I don't know. I can't see him leaving Henderson out at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, he's really at the top of his game.
Yeah. I think I want Ox to play against the team where they're knackered and they're pushed back. Bring him on. If Arsenal get knackered towards the end of the game, bring him on. He's fantastic.
If we were playing, say, Brighton or Fulham or something, I'd definitely have him in the side. But we're playing Arsenal. I want us to be as strong as we can. Yeah. You know.
And you're right, there's a good balance in there with the midfield, isn't it? No, it's very interesting stuff. Let's have a little look around the other fixtures then this weekend. Villa Everton's the Friday game. We can continue to put them in as well. They're rivals, of course they are. Historic rivals. That's got draw written all over it for me.
Nil-nil. Villa are winning that.
Are you reckon?
First win, it's at Villa, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, they're going to win that.
Yeah. Norwich hosting Chelsea.
That's going to be interesting.
That's good, you know.
Good little game, that.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's favourites there?
No, I know. Exactly. I mean, the thing is, it's one of those things, isn't it, where Norwich have won a lot of people over already, and Chelsea, no one really knows what to make of Chelsea, because obviously you get battered by the Manx. On paper, that looks like a bad result, whereas on performance, they're actually doing pretty good. They were really good against us. I think they were the better side against Leicester.
I thought Leicester battered them second half,
Leicester all day.
No one really knows what they're getting from that game, so all the best with that one. United hosting Palace.
It's a win.
If only Palace had a decent manager. Sunday, Bournemouth hosting City has got all the inevitability of 7-0 to City,
I think City just
Or maybe Harry Wilson will score one and it'll be 12-1.
If you look at City's results against Bournemouth, apart from last year, they won 1-0, they battered them, but they always get a good game of football there.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be the same. I'm not saying they're going to drop points, but I think it'll be a good game of football.
The City stuff, nice. I'm going to have to try my best to just not watch Man City this season, because, as I say, I promise myself, we were talking about this the other day, weren't we? So only try and watch them only when they're playing against good sides, because that's a decent chance. But they were so much better than Spurs that it was upsetting. It was really upsetting.
But
it's
true. Yeah. That could be a sign.
Yeah. Or coming from Stockley
Park. You've got a test match to watch Sunday anyway, so you're all right.
Yeah. and Spurs hosting Newcastle, again has got Spurs battered and Newcastle written all over it. Score predictions for our game then, Sam. What do you think it's going to be?
I think it'll be our first clean sheet. And I think we'll win 3-0.
Okay.
I think it won't be a 3-0 game. I think we'll finish well.
Okay.
Great. I'd like it to be our first clean sheet, but I think it might not be. So I'm going 3-1.
Okay.
3-2.
Yeah, I've got a 3-1 feeling. I could almost see it being like a maybe either they go score first again, like last time, or we score, they score, and then it's like, oh, it's on, and then it's not on. We just flex our muscles and get it done. But it'll depend. If they go gung ho from the first half, I'm not sure what else they've got to bring. If they go, you know, Pepe, Aubameyang, Lacazette from the start, how do they switch it up? Is a slight question mark. But if they go defensively, that could, you know, if they've got a bit of a surprise this spring, it could be interesting to see. Let us know your score predictions in the comments section underneath, or tweet us at the Redmen TV. Make sure you get involved with the DraftKings head to head this week, and keep your suggestions coming. If we beat, or I say we, it's me, if my team selection beats Robbie's, then I've got £250 to donate to charity. I'll be perfectly honest, cards on the table, I want to donate to a local Liverpool charity if possible. So if you've got some suggestions, leave them in the comments section. Other than that, make sure you play along. Keep the flag flying for all Liverpool fans, because I'm probably going to be terrible at it. Other than that, gents, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Hope you enjoy the game, and we'll see you post-match.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.